Hello and welcome to another episode of Can I Have It in Blue, a podcast about design, technology, product and everything in between. I am Joana Gomes, lead product designer at Subvisual, and today I have Lisandra Gabriel with me, lead designer at Onda, and we are going to talk about the interaction between our two companies. Lisandra, can you just introduce yourself a little bit and talk a little bit about your path and also Onda? You can also present Onda.
Hello, Joana. So I am Lisandra, print and digital product designer. As you said, a lead designer at Onda. And Onda is a design studio. We focus mostly on branding and websites. I'm also at Onda. I am a DJ at part-time, you know, so every time we gather, I have a music to play in our sessions, especially on our working sessions.
That's really cool. Maybe we can add the end of this episode, something that you choose to play. That's really nice. Okay, yeah. So just for people to understand, Onda Studio is part of Subvisual Group. So it's a company that we usually work a lot with. Basically, sometimes companies come to us, they are as we explained before in other episodes, they are in a very early stage of their paths when it comes to developing their product. And sometimes they don't even have like an identity or anything. They don't have a brand. So that's where Onda comes in. And they usually take that part. If Subvisual is more focused on actually working on the product itself, the experience and so on, and going from zero to one, as we already explained. So can you just let us know a little bit about what kind of projects do you usually work on, or have you been working on Onda?
So I think for me as a designer, a cool thing about working in a design studio is the fact that we are, at least at Onda, we are industry agnostic. Meaning we have a lot of different type of clients, you know, different type of challenges. And I think that is really cool to grow as a designer. You know, I learn something new every day or every month. And I think that is very interesting and exciting for us at Onda and for me as a designer. So working with branding, sometimes we have clients that, like you said, they are in the very early stage of the product, or they just have an idea, for example, right? And we need to shape like visually that idea and the strategy of the brand. Sometimes we have cases where it's more like a rebranding. So it's a brand that already exists, but wants to start a new era of the brand or the business, or the current brand is not like communicating what the business or the people is now, you know. Modern Tech Group was an example of that case. And sometimes we also have clients that already know exactly what they want and is a more collaborative experience between us and them. So yeah, it depends a lot of the needs of the client. But for us, when we think about branding, we think about branding as like business strategy, where the visual component is just a component of the strategy, you know? So the first step of our process, and I think is the most important one, is research. So we need to know everything about like the business, the client, the product, wherever. We need to know everything about the context, like who are the competitors, how they communicate, who is the audience, who are these people. And after that research and the insights that we get from the research, we will build the strategy, you know, of the brand. And that strategy will inform the concept of, or the metaphor, if it makes sense. Just after that, we build like a mood board and we think about those specific parts of the brand, like logotype, symbol or monogram, color palette, fonts. Yeah, and just after that, we start the branding development, branding applications and the end of. But I think we can talk more about like this part of brand application and end of when we talk about more specific use cases with Subvisual.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, and I have a question, because at Subvisual I've been focusing a lot on Web3 products. Mm-hmm. I know that you don't work only with Web3 products. It's the same for us. It's not that every project that we do is Web3, but I can say it's most, at least, I don't know, maybe 80% of what we do is related to the Web3 area. When it comes to branding, is it different? Because when it comes to the product, to creating the product and designing it, it's a bit different if a product is Web3 or not, right? Because when it comes to interaction, you have to think about specific things that you don't have to do when you are talking about Web2. When it comes to branding, is it different from any other project, or it's the same, or do you, because it's a crazy world, right? Web3, it's kind of crazy. So not sure if for you guys, it's, do you also feel like a difference?
I think probably the difference is mostly connected with the audience. Like, audience will relate with the brand, you know, how experimental or not we can be. But for us, in terms of branding, the process is not related to the industry. It's more related, like, our process is like this, you know? And every brand with us will be through the same process. So always start with the research, you know, mood board, brand application, and end of.
Okay, cool. And can you talk a little bit more about the process that you are mentioning? Like, which phases do you usually go through? Like, you already explained it a bit, but I'm not sure if you want to go deeper or even give an example of some project that you thought went well or something.
Yeah, being in design studio means that we need to be very flexible, right? Because we are industry agnostic, so we will know, like, very different types of clients, audience, challenges, and strategy will always differ in order to those different contexts. And our relationship with our clients can also, like, be different. Imagine, sometimes we have a more structured and a more, let's call, cold relation with the client. Like, we have these three steps. Like, the first one is the discovery, where we do the research process, we present the concept and the mood board. And then the next one would be the brand presentation, when we present all these brand components and the applications of the brand and the narrative. And then we have the end of, and most of the times we move to the website because, yeah, most of our clients want the branding and at least the website. And those four steps would be like the standard approach. But sometimes we have clients that want to be more present in the process, you know? And sometimes they want, instead of just like have these four steps, they want to be like more present and see the work in progress, you know, and make sure that we are moving in the right path. So yeah, depends a lot of how the clients are more comfortable or not working with us.
Okay, yeah, I think it's kind of the same for us in the sense that we have people that come to us, and I think this is cool for us to talk about a little bit, because for people to understand what's the difference between like working as a designer in a branding studio or a more focused on product like Subvisual. So yeah, I think for us it's kind of the same in the sense that we have clients and founders that come to us and they have like a really specific idea of what they want. And also we work not only as a venture studio but also as a consultant, so sometimes people just come to us and pay for what they want and we need to deliver what they want. It's a visual, we always have like a questioning mindset. So even if it's a consulting work to be done, we always like question a lot. And if we feel like there's improvements that need to be done, we talk about it. So just to say, we don't like follow orders blindly, but we always have that mindset. But there are other founders that come to us, they don't have a team or anything else. So the process is really different, right? So we also follow that, like we do like a discovery phase, then we have like the wireframing phase where we kind of map what the product can be. And then we go through the usual step of the design process. And when it's a founder that doesn't have a team and so on, usually they are more close to us. We have meetings, more frequent meetings. And usually they give inputs as we do the product and we discuss things as we go. It's not something that is already more decided on the beginning. It gets decided as we work on it. So I kind of understand. But actually, you touched there a point that I find interesting, that it's the narrative. So what's your process when it comes to that? Because creating a brand is not only like designing the logo or designing the colors, it's more than that. Can you talk a little bit about how do you usually create this narrative for the brand?
Yeah, I think personally, I think I have a very romantic view of the process. But that's why in the beginning of the conversation, I said that at Wanda, we see branding as strategy first. And the visual is just a part of that strategy, you know? We need to make sure that the narrative that we create is fully informed by the insights from the research and we need to make sure that we will empower the business, you know, with this narrative. We need to make sure that the people will relate and we will have concrete results with the brand, you know, and that is a very important part for us. And yeah, I use the word narrative because I think in branding, every touch point is important. Every piece of like the way we design the brand, the way the brand interacts with the audience, you know, every communication part of the brand is important. And it's something that we are interested in explore in Wanda. So for us, we are interested in explore every ramification of the brand. And that means that sometimes is the website. Sometimes we are talking about a conference and we will do the Signate, for example. Sometimes it could be an app or it can be like very structural point of the brand, like the stationery or the merch, you know? The word narrative comes from this mindset of we own the craft of every touch point of the brand. We don't see the brand as just do a logotype, do set the color palette and shoot fonts. That we don't see it as branding. We see it as just components of a narrative of the brand.
Yeah, makes total sense. And actually working with Wanda in that sense facilitates my work because I've worked with other studios in the past. Sometimes people come to us and they already have a brand and they work with other studios. So I don't always work with Wanda. But actually, like, that kind of guides my work because you think of, like, the narrative and you give us, like, not just, like, colors and the logo and what else. You give us more than that. And that's, like, very useful when you are designing a product because even in small things, like, for instance, so you have a button. If you have something more structured and more, like, deeper, a brand that is developed in a deeper way, you can, like, when you are a designer, you can think about these small things. Like, a button can say something. If the tone of the brand is more, I don't know, more joyful, you can have something more joyful on that little word that you put there. And actually, that worked really well on the project that we have been working on. As we are recording this podcast, I think Orki, the project that I'm talking about, didn't come out yet, but I believe that once this podcast will be live, the project will be live as well, so you can check it out. But it was a product that I really felt that because this is a product where you basically, you have a stable coin and it's DeFi, so it's very serious. But you created a brand that is so fun that I think when you go to the product, you can like really feel it. It's not just like one more protocol out there. It's something that you go and you kind of like understand that there's something behind it. It's not just another protocol. And I felt that when I was designing it. Yeah, so how was it for you like to work on Orki? Because if you want, you can talk a little bit about the brand itself because I think it's worth it because it's really fun. So yeah, how was it?
Yeah, so as a romantic designer, it's really fun for me when I can use emotion in design, you know, or when emotion can be a big part of our narrative. And Orki is an excellent example of that. So Orki is related to Swell. And on the research, we saw that Swell created like this metaphor or this world, this visual world of the sea, the water, the frog, you know. So we already had this character or this mascot for Swell. And then on the product, they were way more serious structure, you know. So we saw these two different tones of voice. So in terms of strategy, our approach was like, okay, so those users are already used to this world, right? They already created this connection with this world. So we can take advantage of that and create like another character, you know, and use that emotional bridge and create that emotional bridge with users like Swell is doing. So we created Orki. Orki is inspired by orcas. And we say that Orki is the coolest but serious stablecoin in the sea. And yeah, we created all this world around Orki. So Orki, in terms of visuals, Orki is rooted to a digital product. So we are using like the square as the root of all the applications in terms of the mascots. We created the mascot. It became like in the early stages an emoji on our conversations, you know. So we started with these little steps by creating this emotional connection, first with the Orky team, right? And then all this narrative is behind like this character, Orky. And Orky is able to like have a very serious tone of voice, especially for product, and was our vision for the product. So we are way more serious, way more formal, way more let's get results. But in terms of social media and the communication with the users, we are way more irreverent. And we can play between like this irreverent side of Orky and a more serious and product-oriented tone of voice for the product.
Yeah, that makes sense, because in the product side of things, it's related to people's money. So it makes sense for it to be more serious, so people don't like think that it's something that think that if it was too also too funny or too joyful in the product side of things, it will probably, I'm not sure, but maybe could make people get suspicious or something, or could maybe trusting the product could be more difficult, basically. And since we have that serious side of things, that when I was designing, like that allowed me to create a product that is, it goes with the brand, like it follows the brand. Like I said, there's specific things that you can see that it's a joyful brand and that has all that side that you were talking about. But also like you allowed me, by creating these two sides, you allowed me to also create a product that I think my users will trust and see that it's something serious and that we are not messing around with our money, basically. So that was really cool and kind of facilitated my work, basically. So yeah,
and it's something that we always have in our mind when creating like a brand. You know, with Orky we knew that would be a product, right? So we needed to be very careful about like color palette, make sure that you could play with all these elements, you know, on the product, and the experience would be good. If we are talking like, imagine Modern Text Group was more about like social media and print applications. So our presentation was more oriented to that type of applications than comparing with a product, right? We have like specific examples, like we did the brand for podcast and the client said, okay, we are interested in like print in 3D or like in a very material way, the logo or the mascot. So we thought about the brand, thinking about that possibility, you know. And I think this is very fun for us too, you know. Like we try to be as close as we can to the real application of the brand. And I think that is super important for the part where like we deliver the brand and the brand will still live, you know, without us. I think Modern is a great example. Modern is a great example for everything, as you can see. But now the brand still is alive, right? And I think they are doing a great job in terms of showing in every communication that this empathetic, this happy place that Modern Text Group is, which is very disruptive for the Texas context. So yeah, I think it's a great example of like how disruptive can be fun.
Yeah, and the part that you mentioned that you think about, like, what it will come after you, the brand is done, like, what will be, like, the brand applications, for instance, in our case, it's applied to a product, right? So talking a little bit about the challenges that I already have in the past, sometimes it's hard, and this is something that with you guys, it's better. Because in the past, I worked with other studios and sometimes, for instance, since the brand was already done, the studio didn't think about what would the applications of that brand will be. So, for instance, they chose a typography that didn't work on the product that we were working on. For instance, I don't know, like you can have like in a product that you have a lot of tables or so on, like you really had to be careful choosing typography, for instance, or even Orky, we had that conversation about the risk colors, right? Because at Orky, you have like, if you are borrowing a several coins, so you can have more or less risk if you want. And we use like a color system to show this to our users. So this is something that like, when you are developing the brand, if you have this in your mind already, it facilitates the product designer work a lot. And I've sensed this in the past, for instance, when it comes to typography, to colors and so on. So this is something that is really cool that you think of. And I think it's a good synergy that we have here at Subvisual because of that.
Yeah. And even for us, like the fact that we can interact like with different teams when we are working with our clients. You know, we are working with the product team, you know, you have important insights that sometimes we are not aware, right? So yeah, I think this synergy is important for us to grow as a group, as a team.
And you also created the brand for Alchemy, the conference that we did back in April. How was the process there? Like, I believe this is something that you also had in mind, like the application of the brand is very different, like it's not a product, it's not like a company. How was that?
Yeah, so as I told you before, at Wanda, we are interested in work on all the ramification of the brand, right? So we don't care about like if the brand already exists or not. We can empower this brand. We can explore like the way the brand will interact with the people, with spaces, like with very specific contexts or environments. So we want to explore and experiment all these possibilities of the brand. And Alchemy was excellent use case to test like something that for years and years was super static, you know, like printed in something, like in a paper or something. How can we explore like this medium to be more reactive and more dynamic, you know, and respond to the needs of an event like now in 2025, right? So yeah, we partnered with SoVisual to build this tool where we can play with the fonts using codes and we can kind of be more dynamic in terms of the type of information that we are showing at that specific time, for example, you know. If this interactive way of doing Signate can be interesting also for the audience, right? Like if the audience think that this is something that will empower the brand or not, if it's something that will also like help in terms of imagine that the speaker is running late or like the schedule change, like we can use this dynamic Signate, you know, to deliver those messages in the real time. So yeah, we are very interested in partner with like teams that has the same vision of explore the unknown using technology. So we have other examples. Imagine the end of a brand, I think is very different now compared with like 10, 20 years ago, right? Where we printed the brand manual with very specific boundaries around the brand. And I think now with technology is something that is changing a lot, like the needs for a brand to be dynamic and also the ownership of the brand. The client could like explore this brand like in social media and stuff like that, you know, is completely different compared to like the old days. And it's something that we are also interested in explore. Like we are currently working on a brand that has this organic concept of stem cells, you know? So we are exploring a symbol that has all those mutations and is something super dynamic, something that will live in motion, you know, and interaction. So these tools that we can create along with SoVisual are super powerful to bring this vision to live, you know? It is not like something new. We saw other studios doing this like 5-6 years ago, you know? So we need to be able to deliver these dynamic tools and give more power also to the client to be able to explore the brand after or deliver after or end of.
Okay, yeah, I'm kind of a science nerd, so I really love that analogy because stem cells, you know, like, so yeah. It makes total sense. So it's really, really cool. Okay, so I think we can start wrapping up this episode. I only have one more question for you, that is, what advice would you give to designers or companies looking to integrate branding and digital experience more effectively?
I think like an open line of communication is important between the client and the design studio. I think that the client needs to be open also to do this step, you know? We can create inside the box, but we'll be always inside the box, you know? At least at Wanda, we are interested in explore what is behind the box and, yeah, know the unknown. I think the client needs to be open to give this step with us, you know? And don't see us as like just another part, execute something visual, you know? I think the power of the branding is on the strategy. It's like on a fully narrative, because there is a lot of logos, right? A lot of fonts, a lot of colors. And like, if we are thinking that branding just combining these three elements, like the AI can do it, right? There is a lot of platforms that can do it.
Exactly.
So if we are partnering with a design studio, you can take advantage of that and create a deeper story for your brand, you know?
Yeah.
And like a brand that is informed by the research.
Yeah. And if you think of the big brands out there, that like the companies that are really being successful, they have that, right? So it's not just like a logo or the font or the colors. It's more than that. They have like, you have a feeling, right, associated to that company, to that brand. So it's more than that. And just to wrap it up, for like the advice to designers is like, talk to your peers, right? So I think it's really important. And sometimes you don't have like the possibility to do that. But if you do, please talk with other designers. In our case, I believe that helped a lot in the products that we have been working on, like me telling you what the product will need, you telling me what the brand is all about so I can apply it on the product. So I think that's really, really important. And it's allowing us to create more successful and more delightful products, right? So I think that's really, really important. So if you have the chance to talk with the people, if you are a product designer, if you have the chance to speak with the person that did the brand and it's someone that does all the work that Lisandra does, go talk to them and try to like make this connection between the brand and your product in a deeper level. I think that makes a lot of difference in the end product. So yeah.
I subscribe.
Okay, so I think that's it for today. Thank you, Lisandra, for joining Can I Have It in Blue? I hope you can join more episodes in the future. And that's it. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.